that's
Dave, Talk Radio.
Ask the Podcast Coach is brought to you by the School of Podcasting.com. Use the coupon code BTR when signing up at schoolofpodcasting.com.
So you're not trying to push full HD on a...
Yeah, it's weird because at this point...
I don't, that's already struggling.
At this point, I don't even have those buttons.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you fine. I can't... it's so weird.
Hey, are you there?
I'm here. Can you not hear me?
You guys hear me out there?
I can hear you.
Maybe that wasn't a great idea.
And I'm coming back.
Okay. I don't hear you. Hold on, let me make sure.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. I totally lost you.
All right. I'm coming back. Come on, baby. Give me the right buttons. It's like I need my screen to refresh. Oh, this is ridiculous.
Hang tight.
All right. Maybe not. See, here's the thing. It stinks is, yeah, even my mouse won't show up now. Oh, this is ridiculous. Come on now. What the heck? This is ridiculous. All right, if you're listening to Spreaker or Mixler, we're having some, I would say minor, but they're not minor, technical issues today.
Dave, can you hear me yet?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
Any still, maybe I need to jump out and jump back in.
No, you're good. No, you're good. You're good. Stay here. Stay. Hang tight. And he's back. Okay, I think it was Adobe Cloud. It was the only thing that was the only thing that updated itself. And the minute I shut that down, everything sped up like nightmare. I was like, cool, awesome. Hmm. Except I'm still waiting for the Google Hangout to officially load so I can hit start. There we go. Start broadcast.
Well, it sounds good.
Yeah.
It was like, you sound good. The video's a little choppy.
Yeah. I'm with you. I need to probably just reload Windows. I just so don't want to do that.
I know you got to. You got to. I think yours is pretty old too.
Yeah. So well, that was the thing that, well, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. We can talk about it on the show.
So,
got some good advice there.
Everything else is going. All right. Start the broadcast. Ask the Podcast Coach for April 18th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, got to show it. That's right. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. Operating on about 5 hours of sleep. Fresh back from Newbie Expo. This is where you get your podcast questions answered live. I am your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting and the director of the still alive director of the Newbie Expo. Lots of stories today. What I'd like to hear from you guys is if you went to the Newbie Expo, definitely call in 347-850-8007. Would love to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly, because there was plenty of all to go around, including I don't even know if I want to say the word spurting penises. Do we want to know?
You had to go there first thing.
Yeah, I guess we'll get that out of the way. Hide your kids. It's going to be one of those shows today. Joining me is and the one question I got over and over, where's Jim? I said, I think he had this thing called his anniversary.
Jim had a conference going on in Omaha that he had to take care of. So unfortunately, it just wasn't going to work. I'm not a big fan of Vegas anyway.
Oh, dude. I'm telling you, after 4 days, you are so tired of Vegas. I mean, great.
You got to sandblast your body when you come home. You just feel kind of,
this is not a joke. My wife asked me to shower before I got in bed.
Exactly.
I go, baby, you do real. Because here's the thing. I got into, well, first of all, I wake up yesterday and I'm just, you know, I thought I had made a nice, easy day for myself on Friday to fly back. And I remember thinking that my plane didn't land till, or didn't take off till 4:30, which was accurate in Houston.
Oh.
Yeah. So I looked down and I'm like, oh, holy cow, my plane takes off in Vegas in 2 hours. So I had to pack up everything. I had breakfast plans. I was like, sorry, guys, I'm out the door. And then I had to get a taxi and all that other fun stuff. I get to Houston. Oh, yeah. And it turns out it's 4 o'clock. There's that whole time change thing.
It's 2 hours between Vegas and...
To make a long story short, my plane didn't take off till about 9:30, 9:45, actually. It was like an auction. Do I hear it 9? Do I hear 8? It's ridiculous. And so I didn't get to bed till
8:30, 8:45. 8:45 to 9:50. Now we're moving the gate. And then here we go. Here we go down the side.
Here was the problem. The plane was there. It was in like a hangar. They needed somebody to tow it because there wasn't a pilot to drive it to the place. And I'm like going, isn't it the job of the airport to get a plane from one area to the other? And it took them like 2 hours to go tow. I'm like, we'll walk if it's not that. I know it's raining cats and dogs. But yeah, so I didn't get
this is the captain speaking. We're going to have to get out and push the plane. If we could have everybody just step outside to the steps, we'll get down there. We'll get our plane out here in about 15 minutes or so.
Push over. Yeah, exactly. So, it was fun. I've never been so happy.
It's always fun.
I've never been so happy to be back in Cleveland, Ohio in my life, though. It was like, just, we went to the Strip the last night because somebody hadn't seen the fountains at the Bellagio.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really, really cool, but just the whole...
actually a lot prettier in the morning. I used to run. I like to get up and run in the morning, you know, early, like 6 a.m. on the Strip. It's, you know, that's still pretty late here for the Midwest. You get, you know, 2 hour time change. So even if you're out at 6, it's 8 o'clock here, and nobody's out. It's just Vegas in the morning is just beautiful, but it's...
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. We're glad you made it back. And so, good work. I kept looking for you to show up on video feed somewhere, and I couldn't find you.
Not a one. I was running all over the place.
I told you you'd be.
Had a couple fires to put out, but yeah, downtown Vegas has this thing now where people go and they try to hand you a card for a prostitute.
And yeah.
Down on the Strip, and I'm like, oh, we've gone from flyers to business cards. Well, that's probably more cost effective. But yeah, I
think they call them personal assistants there.
Is that it?
Yeah, I'm not sure they're called prostitutes. Personal assistants.
Yeah, I missed the podcasters roundtable. I was waiting for Chris Jericho to show up. I was his handler, which was interesting because his plane was late. So I missed a whole bunch of stuff on that day. We unpacked the recorders to find that one had been completely just consumed in corrosion. So that was fun. So the one day we actually were down a recorder and it was my job to go poop one out. So that was fun. So we did. And thanks to Bill Conrad, who's often a listener to the show, Charles McFall. And I will only call him Silent Bob because I don't know his last name and he didn't say much, but he lent me his RO5 for the day. Very, very nice guy. So that got me out of that pickle. But let's see. Should we just go over the list? What did you hear from New Media Expo on the outside, Jim?
Yeah, you know, I watched the award show. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah.
I'm struggling a little bit.
Well, here let me give you here's the little behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. Ready?
Help me out.
Very simple. There was a script, and apparently Mr. Jericho decided to change it a lot, as in like the whole thing. Yeah.
It wasn't him. Her.
Well, yeah. Well, it is. Yeah. Looking back, and this is my official line on this. David Letterman hosted the Oscars once. It didn't go well, and he's never done it again. So, yeah.
It takes a special, I think it takes a special person to MC those things. I mean, Oscars, Grammys, right? We've watched really, really good actors and people who are very, very successful in their own mediums try and do these things. What I think is people, especially comedians, think they're just going to get up there and wing it and they're going to be funny, and they're not, right? Generally, it's just a terrible. So usually comedians are the worst I think, for award shows to kind of bring up there and try and be funny. That's just not the place to be funny. You know, Neil Patrick Harris is that his name?
Yeah.
Who does it? He somehow has gotten it, right? He is a guy, and Jimmy Fallon was another guy. They're kind of comedians or actor comedians, but they both have done very good jobs in doing it. It just seems kind of awkward. I watched the thing. It was a little awkward. I ended up skipping most of it to get to the awards themselves and watch those. I also noticed not a lot of the award winners were there.
Yeah.
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 And then they were making comments about it. So why not just, you know, it's like, ah.
Yeah.
So from the inside, how much involvement did you have in that? And I mean, I imagine that was all set up by other people.
Yeah. I had nothing to do with that very much. Yeah. But my favorite was I looked at Rick, who was sitting right next to me, Rick Calvert, the main man there. And when they started doing it, and then they went to that, like, you know, 4 minute long ad read. And I looked at him, I go, they are going to hand out awards tonight, right? And he's just like, and after the fourth award, and things had gone really way over the top at that point, he looked at me and goes, well, I guess we have a lot to talk about tomorrow now, don't we? And I said, yeah.
It's hard. It is so hard. Yeah. I hope, I'm not trying to be too critical of it, but it's hard to do that from that standpoint. And I didn't, you know, I follow a lot of folks and I didn't see, and maybe I'm not following the right ones. I didn't see a lot of news coming out of it. So if you were to ask me, hey, what were the major things? I'm not sure I could name too many.
Well, one of the best hashtags you can follow is hashtag overheard at NMX. That was, first of all, Daniel J. Lewis, one of the funniest dudes on the planet. Who knew? His tweets were iconic. My favorite was, he said, you know, podcasting is more funny if you change the word cereal with an S with cereal with a C. And just it was different.
Yeah, no, Daniel had some good stuff. I read Daniel's he sent an email out. I'm a subscriber to his stuff, and he sent out kind of a list of things that he learned there. And so it's a good list. What about you? Let's talk about, you were there. What do you think? Your thoughts
of the podcast awards?
Yeah, no.
Here's the thing.
All the other stuff.
Here's the thing, and Cliff was smiling ear to ear. I didn't get to talk to Cliff for a little bit. I really didn't get to do much. Like I caught most of Rob Walsh's session. I'd never seen Lou Mangiello speak, and this was on, I think, Thursday. So I got to see Lou speak, and I went to Norm's presentation, which we'll be talking about here in a second, because I poked the bear and didn't know it. And there's nothing more fun than making your main sponsor fired up. And it was really weird. I was going to get fired. I wish I was lying, but I'm not.
I understand. I've done that before too.
But NAB is, well, here's the feedback I got. And if you were there, please, please, please go to nmxlive.com/eval, EVAL. You went there, we're dying for feedback. We are going back with NAB next year. But the thing that was the problem, and I would agree with this, you had, as much as it was, here's, and he's doing visual things here, but our sessions were in the Westgate, and even that was slightly splintered. Like, we had one big section on day two was awesome. All of our stuff was in one spot, but on day one, we were like, most of it's in this little area. And then if you go down the hallway and go up the stairs, there's two more things. So not super easy to find the sessions. And then you would go out of the Westgate. You would literally just walk across half of a street and you go into the NAB. But it was, finding it was a little tough. You would go in. I loved it because the booth was called Sprockets. So I was flashing back to those days of SNL and Petting My Monkey and that whole nine, Mike Myers. But you'd go to Sprockets, you'd turn right and just walk forever. And then when you get the yellow thing with the spinny thing, turn left, and there we were. And there was the WordPress booth, and you had Lipson and that whole nine yards. So we were this little, you know, we were like three rows of stuff in the middle of a literally like a mile long stuff. So the actual New Media Expo booth didn't take up a huge amount of room, but finding it was. And then once you got there, you know, they had a place for people to hang out. But and understand, we need people to hang out around the booth. Otherwise, you're not going to get people. You're not going to get sponsors and things like that. So that's the challenge. How do we get people to the booths so that people sponsor it so we can have the show? Because here's the one thing I found out that was ridiculous. You ready for this? If you want to have a chair in Las Vegas at the New Media Expo, and it's a chair that's not, you know, it's just your typical like grandma's chair, right? Little padding. Yeah. $200 a day. And I was like, I'm like, that's for the whole week. No, no. Yeah, I'm like, for that chair.
That's why I hate Vegas. I just, yeah. And I know why we do conferences like this. I mean, I know why we do them, and also when we do them in Orlando and Vegas and those kinds of cities, I know why we do that. It just ruins it. I you know, you're because of the things that you're talking about. I would really like to see that go back to being more regional or in cities that are where you feel like it's together. I've been, you know, CES takes up that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
When you go there. And so you can't find anything, and it's just miles of stuff, and you're just trying to hunt stuff down. I still think for what they're doing here, and they'll never do this, and so I don't know why I'll say it, but I would prefer them go to a smaller city where it's in a conference center where they're just filling that up, right, from that standpoint, and everybody's together. So
yeah.
I also heard complaints about, you know, having to, because of the cost of hotel rooms, and people were having to travel long distances to get to stuff. And, you know, I just hate Vegas. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be negative. Sorry.
Well, that's all right. We're open to, like you said, all feedback is welcome. And again, you can call. And then, of course, if you have a question, you know, we're all excited about NMX. But if you just like, hey, I wanted to ask about RSS feeds, by all means, 347-850-8007. I see Jason Bryan in the chat room. He was, it was great to meet Jason and check out his sexy, sexy tattoo on his thigh. That was great. That doesn't sound good, does it?
No. That's got to have a better story behind it.
Yeah, he was wearing shorts. It's going to be, I know Rick has already said what he wants to do is move NMX to basically what would be the back of NAB so that when people come through the door, boom, we're right there. So we wouldn't be quite so separated. So yeah, that is true. Not his thighs, it's a calf. Again, we're all a little loopy and tired.
You're also kind of dealing with some conference hangover, which is just coming back.
Yeah.
And like, it is a rush. And you've been preparing for this for the last year, 6 months at least, every day thinking about it. And you get home. There's a letdown in this too. I bet when you land and you're like, oh man, it's over. Now what? Right. You're already planning next year's at this point, but it's a huge letdown. And there's just a lot of, you almost need a vacation now.
Yeah. And in a way, I know my very first day when I got there on Sunday, 20,363 steps. And I was like, holy cow. Yeah. So, I don't think I did less than 15,000 a day. Until yesterday, I fell to like 8,000 because I was sitting, standing, waiting for a plane to take off. And the other thing is, I think I have a permanent indent in this shoulder from carrying my laptop. It just like, I got to get one of those things that you pull. That's definitely next year. I'm getting a pull along laptop case.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you learn some stuff. You know, it's tough. You guys are in that space, especially in Vegas, where doing a medium-sized conference in Vegas is tough because the spaces are all built. They're built for CES, right? And that's what Vegas is built for, these big, gigantic conferences. And keeping identity, I think Steve Lee had said, you know, he felt like he'd lost, like New Media Expo lost its identity being co-branded with NAB. There's a lot of good synergies there. That should work.
Yeah, right? I think. The one pool party they had, and for the record, finally, And that's the other thing we should say, that the very first night party, we told them before we showed up, we told them when we were there, and we definitely told them when we left, we don't want loud music, and we got loud music, and that drove us nuts. The second night, we had a DJ instead of a band, still a little on the loud side, but it was outside. That was one of the coolest parties we've had, short of the one at the last one where we just had the podcast awards and we walked across the hall to this little gathering where there wasn't anything, just food, tables, and booze, which is pretty much all we need. And so that one was pretty cool. The outside party was interesting. So that was kind of cool. But the one thing Steve brought up, and I did bring this up to Rick, Steve, and he was like, oh, we need to, yeah, was if you sponsored podcastawards.com, in the paperwork, depending on what level of sponsorship you purchased, you were supposed to be mentioned at the podcast awards. And we all know there was only one company mentioned over and over, and that was Podcast One. So that was, but the thing I was really happy that turned out really good is I brought in some people that nobody had ever heard of. Grant Baldwin is a guy that kind of comes from a whole different area, but got into podcasting and was really excited about it. So he'd been podcasting about a year, and it was about how to get your first thousands of downloads. And I had people go to his session and said, man, that was really, really good. Mark Ramsey is he's really big in the radio realm. And, but it was what podcasters can learn from radio guys. And I know a couple of people that went to that said, man, that was, you know, just taking notes. Daniel J. Lewis, of course. I've seen that guy talk, right? Well, number one, Daniel's my friend. But that, I mean, even if he wasn't any good, that wouldn't matter. When I saw him at Podcast Movement, he packed the house. And from what I understand, he packed the house and did it. Eric K. Johnson said he was running out of paper taking notes on Daniel's SEO for podcasters. So he did a really good job. The only people I heard, there was one session, and I'm not going to say it now, and it wasn't on my track, that people just said, man, that was crap. And I'm like, all right, good, that's not one of mine. So.
Well, it happens. Yeah. You know, we talked about this before. It's hard to hit a home run with every session. I bet most of them were good in that. And I guess the question would be, you know, if you went and I asked this in the chat room, but you know, if you're listening to the recorded version of this, what'd you learn in that?
Yeah.
And it's hard to do any kind of conference. Trust me, I've done them all, from Oracle conferences to Microsoft conferences to you know, all kinds of CRM, BI. I've done them all on the business side, and they're tough to do. Beginning to end, super exciting. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and that's no excuse. We have to keep working hard to make sure they're good. Podcast Movement will be interesting then when we get to it this year, because I mean, that really blew out last year. I mean, that was a conference that blew up last year, and there's high expectations for it this year.
Yeah,
and so when those guys get to it this summer, you know, I bet there'll be tons of people, and it's hard to move. Did they announce the official attendance of the entire conference?
I haven't heard it yet. I mentioned the pool party. The reason I like the pool party, I was talking to five radio guys that I never would have met. That was the one cool thing. I was mingling in some cases with, you know, I just went to get a glass of water, an $8, by the way, bottle of water. And
hamburgers $10.
I'm like,
for sure.
I'm like, is there no tap around here? You know, it's like, come on now. You know, so that was kind of cool that I did get to meet some people kind of outside of my circle, which was kind of cool. That was different. And I'll be interested to see, because they were scanning badges to see how many NAB people made it into our sessions. My session was attended because, of course, and this is the one thing, I don't know that we can get away from this. The schedule changed, not a ton, but I moved from Thursday to Wednesday. CC Chapman had a problem getting in on time. And so he had to go on Thursday, so I had to go on Wednesday. And they had a really cool app, which was much better than the schedule on the actual website. But by the time, like even on day two, the piece of paper that had the schedule, you might as well.
Yeah, it was worthless.
Yeah, it's like.
That's the hard part when it's constantly moving.
Yeah.
You know, when things are moving around. I always get a little lost when you go to those big conferences and you're trying to get to the right room and you set it up in advance. And like you said, you can't guarantee speakers are going to make it on time. And so you got to move stuff around. I'll say this, because I don't want to be super negative about it, but I'll say this: running these things is the hardest thing in the world. And for everyone who has a complaint for it, I think you should try to do it a time, start your own, right? And you do it yourself and make it better, right? Do it better if you think because it's hard. It's super hard to do. It's just not, people expect it. Like, and that's no excuse. You're paying big money. You're flying there. You're staying in a hotel, right? You should expect quality in that as well. But on the backside, running these things is really hard to do.
And then there are things you have no control over, like the Westgate was remodeling, literally like pulling up carpet. Right. And so every day, like the one day I was in the North Hall or the North Wing or whatever they called it. And I swear they put down the stove because they were replacing carpet with tile. And it's the whole thing smelled like dead fish, you know, and it was like, nothing we can really do about that. Interesting. Devorah says she can't hear anything on the audio, just the intro rolling. Try refreshing your screen. Let's put that in the old chat. But that might work. But all in all, I mean, you know, the sessions at night were awesome. you know, the once people found each other, that was the thing.
Yeah, the networking is really what makes that stuff worth it, right? If you're not there networking, that's kind of why you go.
The other thing I should probably an easy answer, because the schedule was weird. Like our opening keynote was on Tuesday, and people are like, why was Pat Flynn on day two? Who, by the way, entered the room in a DeLorean. He actually drove the DeLorean that's in the movie. You know, it was all about Back to the Future, but how you can't you can't change the past, but you can change your future. It was a really good thing. I felt very bad for Joel Kahn because we had both our keynotes back to back. And following Pat Flynn, I don't want anybody to have to do that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Especially when the guy enters the room in a DeLorean. How do you top that? But the reason for that was when we became co-located with NAB, we kind of they just went, well, here's our stuff. You know, can you fit your stuff in around it? So all the big rooms on Monday were taken. And I was like, okay, so I don't know this for sure, but Rick made it sound like A, we are definitely going back. And B, there's going to be a little more co-planning with them so that we're not, and this sounds like they were disrespecting us and they weren't, but we don't get their table scraps and we don't get what's left over that we can kind of have a more normal schedule kind of thing. So that was something where people were like, why, like our ending keynote was I think the day before the conference was over. So that was kind of interesting. But yeah, Pat was awesome. And then I just felt, I think Joel would have been okay. I had some people say they walked out of his session and I think it's because he wasn't Pat. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, Pat just nails it out of the park and it's hard to keep that, you know, we almost needed like a 5 minute break, but it was pretty much, he was over, Rick walked up, let's interview Joel. And then there was so I just felt bad. So, but yeah, we would, if you went and came, would love to hear your feedback. It's 347-850-8007. And, of course, while you're on the phone, be sure to, mention your website and, you know, and I'm talking to you, Jason, Brian, or anybody else. Jason was there. It was his first time there. Got to hang out at, the Stratosphere. One night with Jason and Ray Ortega. And it's weird because people jump off this thing. The Stratosphere is basically this big, it's like the Space Needle in Seattle, only it's in Las Vegas and it's taller than any building in Vegas. And then people, like, you're on some sort of weird harness that's on a cable and you just drop. So you'll be standing there and you're looking out over the beautiful city and all of a sudden you see this person just go right through the, it's like, was that a body? Yep, that was really interesting, but
no thanks.
Yeah, so that was kind of different. What else happened that was here's the fun thing. This is not almost one of those things I don't want to talk about live because I don't want to, I need to think about what I'm going to say.
Yeah, you don't have to.
But I went to Norm's session, and I should say this up front. First of all, Norm, here's the key to both the podcast awards and a keynote. You need to know who your audience is. And when Chris Jericho came on and said, man, there's so many podcasts, there must be at least 10,000. I went, oh, dude, you have no idea what you just did because there's a whole lot more than 10,000 podcasters out there. Hey, we have a caller. Save me from hanging myself here.
There you go. Good call.
There you go. Ending in 8171. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey guys, it's Jason Bryant. Dave, you can continue that story because I'm curious on how tight that noose is going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
Dave's trying to work himself out of it.
Yeah. So, did you go to that? Did you go to this keynote, Jason?
I caught the tail end of it, and then I was kind of floating around the conversation that occurred afterwards. The post show, like we have here on Ask the Podcast Coach, the post show was actually probably more entertaining than the keynote.
It was a really interesting. It was a dialogue, is what it was. It was two people on two different sides of a fence, kind of trying to understand the other one. So here was my question. I kind of knew that this was possibly a touchy subject because there are a group of people trying to come up with one agreed upon way of measuring podcasts. This is something that's been needed. And so, you know, we kind of come from the download world where you have a download, you have a script, you can look at the log and say, yep, that was a download. And I walk in, of course, because I'm a little late, to Norm Session is he's talking about, we don't do downloads, we do impressions. And then we run those impressions through a matrix. So me, again, coming from the download world, I'm like, okay, this must be what I've heard some people talking about. And I'm like, I don't get this. And so I look at Brian from ProfitCast. I go, I think I'm going to go get fired. Because I had a feeling this was potentially a volatile thing. And I walked up and I'm like, okay, how can I ask this in a... Because I really just want to know, what's an impression? In the bottom, as God is my witness, I just wanted to know what an impression was. But I knew it was some of a hot topic. So I went up and I said, hey, Norm. Oh, first of all, Rick introduces me, director of podcasting. Let's give Dave a good hand. I'm like, oh, great. Thanks. No pressure. And I go,
you were put right up there. The spotlight was on you directly right at that moment.
And I said, hey, I'm old school download guy, got the logs to prove it. I heard you mention impressions and that they're going to be run through matrix thing. And, you know, when I hear that, not understanding it, there might be a little gray area there. And so here's the fun thing. That's where Norm interrupted me. The rest of the question was, if there's any kind of inflation of numbers, that will then lower the return on investment for the advertiser. And this is where you throw in the compliment. And Norm, being a great businessman that you are, you can't lower the value on the advertiser because then there are no advertisers. So I'm sorry I missed the beginning of your session. Please, Norm, explain to me, what is an impression? That was, now granted, that's a really long question. But when I said gray area, Norm was like, any matrix is going to have gray area. I don't care what you're using. And Norm is just a passionate dude. So this is just, you can't see me on the audio, but he's waving his arms and he's, you know, and this is, and I was like, holy cow, I poked the bear. Oh, you know, and now for me, I'm like, okay, is he mad or, but I went back to my seat and you can ask Jason. I held out my hand and I'm just like, okay, I think that's a bad thing. And I had no blood in my hands. They were freezing cold. And so I go up, session's over. I get up. First person comes up to me and goes, man, you really set him off. And I was like, okay. And I go to the next, here comes Rob Sester. And he goes, man, I can't believe you, Dad. And I'm like, oh, this is not the impression. I just wanted to know what an impression was, really honest. So I go up to Norm afterwards and I go, hey, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to set you off. And he's like, oh no, it's not. And he kind of does one of these things where he puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, we need to talk. And he kind of wheels me over and I'm like, all right, I guess I'm talking to Norm. And we start talking and it's instantly painfully obvious that we are on opposite ends of the spectrum. And he's explaining, because he goes, these guys, and here's, if you were the small, you looked Hispanic. Is that a racist thing to say? I don't want to sound racist, but there was a guy that looked at him like, okay, cool. He's from California, black. Anyway, really short guy filming the whole thing. I don't know how to explain it. If that's a racist thing, I'm not a racist for the record. I'm just trying to explain who that guy is. Anyway, he filmed the whole thing. I want that. I want to see that video. And so Norm is explaining this. He says, these digital guys think they know the way to do it because they've been doing it. And I go, yeah, I know. I understand. I go, and with your background, you guys need to get together and come up with a agreed upon. And he goes, I found the way. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you do realize that you're doing just what you accuse the other people of doing. You know, the Todd and Robs of the world are going, we've been doing this for 10 years. And Norm is going, I've been doing this for 30. You know, we do this, we run it through the matrix. So it's, and I'm like, okay, I see both ends of the fence. And he threw out some terms I'd never heard of in the radio world. Gnome and TSL or TDSL or time spent listening, TSL. So he kind of, and I said, Norm, I don't know your world. So school me, you know, and I just listened to it for a long time. And at one point I interrupted him and I was like, oh, you just interrupted. I'm like, don't do that. Stop that. And so in my head, I'm wetting my pants because it's just so painfully obvious that we're on different sides. And I'm like going, this is the biggest sponsor we have. And I'm like, well, what do you do when you have two different cultures? Right. You know, I have a friend of mine, George Robb, 100% absolute atheist, right? Me, pretty much the other end of the spectrum. So what do we do? We agree on all this. We love to talk about music. We love to talk about podcasting and things like that. I'm like, okay, I got to find some common ground with Norm. And I listened to him. I really did. And Norm Pattis, I'm sorry, is the guy behind, he is the man behind Westwood One, And he's the big kahuna behind Podcast One. So this is like the biggest. Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Mike Phillips.
So I'm sitting there with Norm Pattis, and I listened to him, and I said, so let me get this straight, Norm, because I'm like, how do I need to, in the immortal words of James Brown, I need to hit it and quit it, right? I need to get out of this conversation. And I'm like, okay, what do we agree on? And I listened to him, and I said, so Norm, let me get this straight. You want to give your customer what they're looking for in a format that they want while delivering value to the advertiser. And I go, shame on you. And shook his hand. Like I said, because I want the same thing. And thank God at that point, Rick said something and pointed something to Daniel. I'm like, yes, deflect to Daniel quickly. And that was, and then Norm, as the conversation was over, Norm puts his arm around me again. And I'm going to give you my card. I'm going to have somebody send me my cell phone number. He goes, you got any questions on this? You call me because you and I need to be on the same page. And I was like, okay. So it was, but it was, and people kept saying, this is the kind of stuff we need to have at NMX. This was a really good conversation. Because I told him, I said, well, Norm, here's something I have on my side of the fence. I go, we have these people that are cheating with Twitter, and they're taking this hugely inflated number and they're giving it to sponsors. So that's why we're worried about inflated numbers. And I said, because, you know, obviously in that case, the sponsor's not going to get any return because you don't have any listeners. And he just kind of went, oh, that's just a small number that nobody's done. So it was, he's a bazillionaire, is Mike Aston. Yeah. I don't know if he sold West 1-1 or what, but he has a lot of money. He's also 72, and he'll be more than happy to tell you he's 72, and he's been doing this a long time. So I see both sides of the fence. You got Norm, who's been doing this, very successful at it. And if I were to crunch this down into an elevator pitch, here's the thing. This is where things, I don't know Norm's side. I'll be the first to say that what I'm about to say might be completely, entirely inaccurate. Okay. But from what I've, you know, again, let's say Norm's, the way he tracks things is not entirely accurate and the numbers do get inflated. He then charges a lower CPM on the radio side. Okay. And in the end, it works out. What podcasters are doing is we're having numbers that we feel to about 2% are accurate, right? A 2% give or take. And we want to charge a higher CPM. So you give the advertiser a lower number, but you charge more. Norm gives them a higher number, potentially, allegedly, and gives them a lower number. So in the end, you get the same kind of return on value. But the bad news is, number one, and this is probably what I'm going to talk about on the School of Podcasting. If you're looking to have sponsorship on your podcast, find another method, because this is going to get ugly, I think. And in the end, if we go with this method of really huge numbers for lower CPM, the small podcast guy has no clue. He's going to end up with pennies for sponsorship. So I'm just like, forget CPM. That's not going to work. It's going to be interesting to see, because they've got people like Nielsen and Edison, and I want to say Tyson, but that's not it. Something with a T, some company. So it'll be interesting to the fun thing is, in my head, I'm wetting my pants. And everybody said that watched this, they said, no, it wasn't that big a deal. But I was like, just losing it. So what did you think, Mr. Bryant?
Well, it was funny because after that happened, we were a group of us sitting over there kind of at the back. I came in late, and this is where you came over to Bryant and said the comment. And then we were just sitting there talking. Next thing you know, like, guys, he's talking to Norm. And Norm did that, you know, like you were saying about his style of speaking. I was like, is Norm mad or yelling? That's how he talks. So I was kind of confused. Next thing you know, everybody I was standing with is now surrounding you. And I end up talking to Pod Vader from Blog Talk Radio about the same thing. And we were going on a completely different track. So I didn't actually get to politely eavesdrop on y'all's conversation. So I just know that I had my phone up looking for the overheard at NMX hashtag to see what was coming out of that discussion. So one thing I learned about that hashtag, it was nice to politely eavesdrop. If you say, oh, it's just overheard. But I didn't actually hear the conversation that you guys had. So I can hear Norm's half of it because I was across the room. I couldn't hear much of yours.
Well, that was the interesting thing is I'm talking to Norm, and I just happened to, like, for a second, turn to my left. And I felt like I was in junior high, where anytime you got two kids fighting, a circle immediately surrounds them. And I looked up, and I'm like, that's where I looked up, and I saw the one guy filming. I was like, holy cow. Yeah, Steve Lee says in the in the thing. This is another one where I said Norm needs to know his audience. He said, no matter what you think of the podcast awards last night, it made me money. And a lot of people thought that was kind of a crappy thing to say. And I see where my video is frozen now, which is kind of fun. I didn't touch
it. Well, I'm looking at it. It was my first NMX. So, I'm talking with Nick Suberling and Corey Finner and trying to get, who are great guys, by the way. I feel like I've known them forever. That was one great thing about this conference was, you know, the whole networking thing. This is what you touched on earlier. And I really saw it. I mean, I developed a whole new group of friends that I thought we were friendly before. But once you meet them, it was like, man, I feel like I feel like I've known these people for years, yourself included. And, you know, I got to be, you know, sitting there at the dinner Thursday night with Holstein's. I'm looking around like, what am I doing here? Because there's you, there's Rob Greenley, Rob. I'm name dropping like crazy here. You, Rob Greenley, Rob Walsh, you know, Nick Suberling, Corey Finner, and Daniel J. Lewis. And I'm sitting there at this table. It's like the first, I was like, what am I doing here, man? So it's like, but there was that whole networking part of it that was really cool. But from a first timer, I'm sitting there going, has the podcast awards always been this kind of stiff? I mean, what has it always been? It's like, no, we were always kind of enclosed at the Rio. And I'm like, huh. So I don't know what it used to be like. Although my first impressions were that I really loved the networking part of it. I caught a couple sessions that were interesting. A lot of the cases, I actually said to Corey, I said, so we've all spent like $500 to $1,000 to just come hang out with our friends in Podcast Alley for 4 days. And they're like, yeah. So, I mean, it was cool. The Stratosphere thing was cool. And, you know, getting to meet a lot of people and just bounce some ideas off of. And, you know, I think the most comment, and I told my wife this, I said, this is weird. I've been in the Las Vegas Convention Center about 20 times in my career. And this is the first time I've actually been to it for its actual intended purpose, a convention. And the only time I had to talk about wrestling this whole weekend, a whole week, was explaining, no, what I do isn't the television stuff. So that was kind of refreshing. So, you know, I had a wrestling free week, for example.
Yeah, the NAB part, when I got there on Sunday, Rick took me around and we're walking and just the Panasonic booth was, I never saw the quote Sony booth, which I understand is bigger than NMX by itself. And, yeah, I'm back. The video is back, by the way. I don't know what's going on. And we get done, and Rick is like, well, this is just the North Hall. I was like, you got it. And then he took me over to the South Hall where all the video stuff was. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. So, it was different. It was fun, but it was a little, you know, I know Daniel spent a lot of time over in the NAB side. So it was, I didn't have time, but it was kind of cool. But yeah, in the end, In the end, for me at least, the things that I remember are the things that are said at dinner and the things that are said in between and things of that nature. So, but of course, again, I didn't go in any sessions almost this time. And the ones I did were really interesting. Any sessions stand out that you saw, Jason?
I like a little snarkiness. So I liked Rob Walsh's presentation just because he's not afraid to throw down the gauntlet of snark. So I'm kind of a stats guy. So I enjoyed that one. I think Corey and Nick had a really good session about, you know, engage your audience from a sports perspective, because that's where I come from. And then I guess actually Corey had a double dip because him and Ray Ortega had one. You know, the session about kind of convincing your boss. And I'm kind of in that role. It's not my boss, but I have to convince schools to decide to go to podcasts. So I thought their tips were interesting there. That was kind of something I was familiar with. And, you know, I'm not a big Rob Cesternino guy because, you know, I watched a little bit of reality TV, but I sat in on his session and, you know, let's talk about the engagement, getting the audience. And I think some of his engagement was because he is somewhat of a celebrity to a lot of people. And, you know, those general podcasters that, you know, have the niche that aren't really viewed that way, don't have a little more difficult time in engaging their audience because people don't necessarily want to talk to the host. But when you're Rob Cesternino, people want to talk to a celebrity. So, but he had some interesting tips that kind of crossed that. And I got a little bit out of that. And of course, getting a chance to hear him talk was good. And then of course, Pat Flynn's speech was good. Pat Flynn doesn't, his theory on things with his niche, you know, the passive income type of thing, his whole deal isn't something I'm interested in. I'm not an internet marketer type of guy. I'm not in Pat Flynn's type of wheelhouse when it comes to avatars, but I did find his speech completely enjoyable because I'm also in that age group with Back to the Future was a big part of my childhood. So, you know, again, with what you guys were talking about, it was so weird to go, all right, I was expecting more based on what I had heard from previous NMXs, and I'm not going to be able to attend Podcast Movement because I've got another conference, but I'm thinking now with the people I've met and then the situations, I want to hear more about different strategies for podcasting. You know, Podcast Midwest is now showing up on my radar in just over a month, and I'm, you know, considering going down to that because it's, you know, it's a short flight or a 6-hour drive, whichever you prefer from me here in the Twin Cities. So those are the sessions I really liked. And again, I can't talk about it enough. I learned so much more just sitting around a table with, you know, guys from the Daniel's Ramen Network, with Wayne Henderson, with Troy Heinrichs, with those guys. I learned so much just sitting around talking between sessions and walking back and forth between Podcast Alley and sitting at Sid's for lunch or at the Sportsbook Deli at the Westgate. That networking is where I learned more than I actually did the session. So I don't think you can put a price tag on that, especially when the only person I had a cell number for, because most people were direct messaging on Twitter, was ProfitCast Brian, or I Am the Real Brian, or that's basically, nobody called him by his real name the whole time. It was either, oh, it's ProfitCast Brian. I have it as my phone is I Am the Real Brian. It's Brian Kane. But he's the first number I had. So I was texting him when I got in the night before. He said, hey, man, let's meet up for breakfast over at Sid's at the Westgate. I'm like, great, because I'm staying at the Plaza. So I took a cab in because it was $40 a night. And the internet was, like Todd Cochran had said, 50 down and 60 up or something astronomically high like that. Yeah. And it was free. So I meet him, and then there's Wayne and Troy. And then that was pretty much the start of the week. I mean, I felt like I'm repeating myself when I say this. I felt like I've known them for years. We sat down at breakfast. Then I see Corey and Nick. First time over at Podcast Alley, got to meet Steve Lee and Dave Lee. We were talking International Podcast Day, talking roller derby. Ray Ortega came and sat next to me during a session. And then, you know, he was at dinner that night. So it was like, I learned more just sitting and talking with people that I became my friends than I did actually the actual session. I think there's obviously the unspoken value in that.
Well, the other thing that Jason helped me out with, and Jim, I know you've got some experience with this, is I sat down and I said, look, I have very limited time here. I said, I've got about a half hour or so to go hit some booths. And I know Jason had been there a couple of days at this point. I said, what booth should I go check out? And Jason said, go check out Clamor. And I was last night when I get stuck in the Houston airport, I'm playing with this app over and over. It's a cool app. What it does is it's free and you can basically tie into your podcast, like on your phone. And go in, and I you'll hear my interview with the guys. It's not 17 seconds. It's not 19. It's 18 seconds. Up to 18 seconds. And you can make a clip. And what's cool is I did it this morning. You hit it up, and anybody that you follow, you can hear their little 18-second clip. And if you like it, you hit hear more or something like that, and it just goes right to their MP3 file. And so I started following Jason and a couple other folks. And I was surprised with me having – not announced, hey, I'm on Clamor or whatever. And I'm not even sure how you do that, if I have a Clamor page or what. But already had people pinging my stuff and downloading stuff. And Jason, how long have you been playing with it?
Since I saw it that day at NMX. I mean, I'm sitting there and I start messing with it. He showed me how to do a sample one right then and there for my phone. And then when I got home, I had a couple episodes that I needed to do. So yesterday I put out two shows, and which were long overdue, mind you. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, Dave. Right. So they were long overdue. And so I was actually, you know, the Clamor folks had followed me on Twitter, and I had a little funky thing where I couldn't get my password, and they're DMing me back and forth. And, you know, they're really, you know, as an early, I guess, you know, basically an early adopter in a podcast space about this, they're like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? So I'm firing some suggestions. But although the cool thing is it's just not just an app. You can go to publisher.clamor.com. and basically do all this stuff with your interface. So if you've got a cool 18-second clip from your timeline that you want to pull out, export that as an MP3, you can do it and set your show art in the basically the computer backend. So you don't have to do it all from your phone and scrub. No. Yeah, I used it this morning for. So if you look at my tweet about Inside Virginia Tech Wrestling, I put out probably at 3 a.m. because my body clock's all jacked up. That looks a little different than the one I put out previously for Buena Vista Wrestling, the Beavercast. So you'll see I did one with my phone and I did one with the web interface. So on the web, you know, it's the publisher dot. And right now their issue is their titles are only 40 characters. And this is something I've been talking with them immediately. I was like, you, to get people to use this, okay, I don't think people are going to have a problem if you put your handle and the hashtag in, but you're going to need to give them more than 40 characters. So
yeah,
there, I'm thinking if you give them 100, maybe people will be, okay, I can do that. On the web, you can put a description as long as you want, but I think some of it's how their web looks. But I'm looking at it. If you've got an interview show and you have that dynamite sound clip that, you know, so, you know, Brian just had John Lee Dubas on a show, and there was a part in there that's like, man, that should be the hook. Yeah. So hold on 1 second. I got to take a drink here.
That's all right. But yeah, I did the same thing.
So, yeah.
Henry Winkler was on WTF, and it's, you get super creative. Like, oh, there's the clamor right there.
Well, and it's Jim, great for content creators, but what you did was part, because you could have your fans pick out the 18-second clip. Like, dude, did you hear what this guy said? Share. Right. And it gives, you know, we've been looking for that opportunity for audio, long-form audio, to go viral. And this is a way to do it. And if you look at it on Twitter, I use TweetDeck, so it's a little differently. But on the native Twitter page, you click on the timeline, and then, boom, there's the 18-second player. And then you can click more, and it takes you to your direct download from Libsyn or iTunes or SoundCloud, wherever you want it. So you look at it, you've got a fan base that loves the clip or a certain part of your show. They can basically make a highlight of your own clip. I think Ustream was doing that at one point, where you could make your own highlight from some other people's stream. And I think this is, from me as a content creator standpoint, like, I've, with an interview show or interview shows, plural, you know, here's a clip. One of my clips yesterday was the athletic director of Buena Vista University saying, you know, come back, you know, basically enticing their alumni that might've been away for a while to come back. And it's a nice 18. And I think 18 seconds is a good sound bite.
Right.
I'm a content creator. It sounds great to me.
Well, the funny thing was, right, I'm sitting there in the Houston airport, and I emailed Jim. I'm like, hey, we'll probably talk about this tomorrow. I go, check out clamor.com. And in true Jim fashion, he's like, oh, I've been using this for a long time. He's an early adopter. So Jim, give us some power tips or things that you've found.
Yeah, no, you guys have covered a lot that's there. I mean, it's kind of basically an 18-second option for you, and then you can tie it back to your, tie it back to the original source. I think the interface is interesting. What will be interesting is, can we get people to log in? Because to use it as a podcast discovery tool, can you get people to log into Clamor and listen through 18 seconds of clips? Just, you know, it does plays an 18-second clip, and then it goes to the next one. An 18-second clip goes to the next one. So from a discovery standpoint, that'll be interesting too. So I have a contact over there. They contacted me. I got on really early, and they contacted me, had viewed some of my stuff, and then said, hey, we'd like to make you a featured podcaster and some of those kinds of things, which I just get lucky that way. And so I've been talking with their support, and they're continuing to add features to it. So even like publisher.clamor.com, that has gotten better over the last couple of weeks. They've added a new discovery tool, like a widget that you can make yourself and add to your site that will help the discoverability. It's really cool. The question will be, can we get people to use it? You know, that I think at the end of the day, will we get people? The app on the iPhone is just beautiful. I mean, it's dynamite. Yeah, you should check it out for sure. The more people that rush to it, I mean, there's a benefit of being the early adopter in it, but the more people that rush to it, the more podcasters we get on it, the less discovery you're going to have. So just one of those kinds of things where you're like, well, as we all flood into it, the results, your discoverability will go down just because there's so many people in there. Engadget and Gizmodo, and a lot of the tech news sites are already doing this. They have a ton of stuff out there.
Yeah.
They kind of prime the pump with. So no, I really like it. I've been on it about 4 or 5 weeks, and it was one of those things I was testing out that would bring to the show here once we figured a few things out about it. It's very new.
Yeah. So it's, I was impressed. The other thing I was amazed with, and I can't figure out he showed me how to do it. You can actually do multi-track recording in it. Like, I could say, hey, here's a really cool clip from Henry Winkler on WTF, and then have it play the clip, of course, assuming I can do that all in 18 seconds.
Right.
I thought that was amazing, that it'll then mix down the thing and do it. I was like, wow, that's wild. So
yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see, you know, how it works. And
I see you followed me on that.
I did. I saw you come through, and I'm like, hey, I know that guy.
We actually put Gallup on it too. So I contacted them and said, hey, we're going to start running the Gallup webcasts on it. Would you, you know, create a featured podcast or a feature podcaster for that too? And they said, yeah, no problem. So they're very open. If you give them some feedback, if you kind of work with them, they're very, very kind on the insides right now. So I imagine as they get busier, that'll change a little bit. But right now, they've been very open to podcasters. So it's a good time to jump on it if you're thinking about doing it. Clammr, C-L-A-M-M-R, because we're dropping vowels from the English language. Right.
Can I buy a vowel?
Of course you're dropping. Of course you're dropping vowels. I mean, you'd just be clammr. You know, nobody would understand you without at least the A. At least, I mean, even Blueberry has the U.
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Jason, where can everybody find your stuff?
You know, I actually kind of joked about this on Libsyn Live with Crystal. Oh, by the way, did you notice my video bomb of you? It just kind of went by. Crystal didn't even notice it. But as I had said, you probably have not heard of me if you're not a college wrestling fan. But if you're interested in college wrestling and you didn't know my shows existed, it's at matttalkonline.com. Currently producing and editing and hosting 8 shows, distributing 10 and distributing 11 feeds. So matttalkonline.com. It's wrestling overdose, basically.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you. Very cool. Yes. He does the Beaver Cast. I saw that and I was like, Beaver Cast? What kind of show is that about?
It's wrestling.
Yeah. Back to the podcast awards. But in the chat room, they're talking about a new microphone. It's always like its own little show going on over in the chat room. And I dare not open up another browser, but apparently Audio-Technica, according to Mike Phillips, is coming out with a BP-40 that will be similar, we're wondering, to a Audio-Technica, or no, the Heil PR-40, which I did get to play with at Podcast Alley. That they do sound good, I will say that. And I was sitting there thinking, do I finally just bite the bullet and buy a PR-40? I'm like, why? Because I've got an RE-320 sitting right here.
Yeah, nah, you sound great.
I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm like, so
that you sound great.
Yeah.
One of the things we were talking about in the pre-show, just as we were talking about helpful things for podcasters, in light, you know, you had, as you were trying to log in, you were trying to figure out, hey, is Dropbox downloading stuff? Am I trying to sync stuff up? And so, you know, a couple of recommendations. We talk a lot about live, and if you're going to try live, a couple of recommendations I have for you all around that. One is over-engineer your solutions. So you really want to make sure you're throwing, I think, for live, if you're going to do live podcasting, you get on the best processor you possibly can, right? I throw a Core i7 box that's got 16 gig of RAM at it, because you never know if things go wrong, or if you've got, like in Dave's situation, you got a ton of stuff downloading, coming in, whatever. Your system can handle it for the most part. Now, there's always a bandwidth issue, but when we talk about that, you can't over-engineer that. You can overbuy it, though, if you think. You want to make sure you're on a pretty good package for bandwidth when you do that. So over-engineer your equipment. Don't be afraid. I think the few extra dollars you spend will be worth it when you get to that. And then two, we've talked about this before, but setting up a separate box to handle all your FTP, your file transfers, your Dropbox, your copy, your box, your whatever, MediaFire, they all have pieces of software. I would not recommend you install that syncing software on your production PC or Mac that you're using for video production, especially when you're going live. My recommendation, get a separate PC. It doesn't need to be even very expensive. You could use a, why can't I remember the name of the small Mac? The Mini.
Yeah.
The name is really hard to remember. You can use a Mac Mini. That would work just fine. Or you can get an inexpensive PC from a couple years ago. Set that up, put it on the network, install the software there, and then open up all those folders for file sharing. And that's where you keep all the stuff that you're syncing. That way, that PC or whatever, that PC or Mac, is doing all the hard work of syncing for you. And you're not putting that burden on your regular PC. It's just super helpful to have an extra PC around when you're doing podcasting. So that's one of my recommendations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know for me, I had the choice of, do I try to actually get some sleep, or do I get here about 9? Usually I get here about 6 in the morning and start working on stuff, making sure everything's good to go. And I opted for sleep, because that would have got me in about...
It's a good call. But in your case, Dave, over-engineering your solutions there with you, and we've talked about this before, and this is one of those things that allows you to sleep, right? Because you get in, and then you're like, boom, I just know it's going to hit every single time.
Well, so, I know when I showed up and it said, Windows has installed updates for you, and I went, oh, yeah. I didn't ask you to do that. I'm like, yeah, I guess I did, because that was
you're
one of the...
You're going to do a reboot.
And that's when a reboot and everything was just... Another thing was starting, like, okay, we don't need you. And I think the one that was, for whatever reason, I'll find out here, because I'm going to reboot again when we get done here. I updated Adobe Cloud, and the minute I closed that, everything kind of almost went back to normal. I know we've had a couple little hiccups today, but let's see. Anyone who is launching a second podcast, yes, don't. We'll talk about that in the after show. Related to the first podcast, but a solo podcast, short tips. Yes, we'll talk about that in the after show. Of course, that's one of the joys of being here live at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We do a little after show. We hit the stop, and some days Dave cuts them out. Some days Dave doesn't. So you never know what you're going to get when you download the show. And that's assuming that Dave does eventually publish the shows, which I'm now 2 weeks behind. It's that whole New Media Expo thing, which is on the list of things to do today, right after I find Todd, Rob, and Mark's presentation, who need it to put out for the New Media show. So my plate not officially empty yet from New Media Expo. But Jim, I got to tell you, buddy, it's nice seeing you. Nice to be back.
No, good to have you back, and good to have that behind us.
Yes, it is. But now we got a year to work on next year. That's the fun part. But thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. And scene.
Okay, my door's ringing. That means I have mail. I'll be right back.
Hold All right. On. You've got mail.
I'll be out.
So, yeah, any words of wisdom for someone launching a second password to the first podcast, but a solo podcast, short tips and news. I'm actually getting ready to do that myself. It's on my plate. For those people that, it is, I don't know if there's any tips, just realize it's not any easier doing a second podcast than it is doing the first. It still takes 4 minutes to every 1 minute of podcast. So, it should be something, and then test it. One of the things I talked about in my session was people were like, what if I fail? And I go, what if you don't? And if it fails, if nobody listens, you kill it. You kill your baby, and you can say, all right, that didn't work. The nice thing about now, here's the good news with interviews versus a solo podcast. Solo podcast, it's super easy to get content because it's yours. That's the good news. The bad news is you get to make the content. So if you have a huge experience library to pull from, it's awesome because you can just talk about what you know. So that's the good news and the bad news, because what happens when you run out of content? The good news of interviews, somebody else has the content. They're bringing the content. You just got to figure out what to ask them and to get the best content out. So that's the good news. The bad news is you have to schedule the interview. And I got to tell you, man, oh man, is that a pain in the butt. It's even if you're using a schedule once or an appointment or blah, 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 scheduling interviews can be quite, because you got, you're interviewing people from Africa and Australia and the West Coast and the East Coast. And it's, 9 o'clock my side and it's 4 in the morning your side. It's a hassle. So, and this is where we go. Yeah, that's right. Podcasting is work. Unfortunately, but
it's a job, right? I mean,
yeah.
When you get right down to it.
But I pointed out that Grammar Girl, who's been on Oprah, good old Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl was her second podcast. Callie Lewis, did you know this about Callie Lewis, Jim? Do you follow Callie?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, because she had Geek Brief with her husband when the marriage kind of went sour. That turned into Geek Beat because they couldn't decide who owned the name, so that became GeekBeat.tv, and now. They tried some things and maybe went a little too fast. And so she has parted ways with John. That was awkward because they were both, they were the official live streaming people of NAB. So that was a nice table of awkward. And now she is geekslife.com.
What did John end up doing? What did you say?
John is, I'm not sure what John's production company is something Lobster.
Okay.
But Callie and John have very politely, very professionally said, she had a video, so I don't really know, but it was a very classy video. She didn't throw anybody under the bus, but basically said, look, we were talking about selling the podcast, and she goes, I didn't want anybody telling me how to do my show. So she formed her own production company, went out on her own, and now has geekslife.com. She's in complete control, and I think she's learned that maybe I'm done with partners.
Well, it's partners are good and bad, right? Yeah. In that sense. I wouldn't want to do it alone. I really like doing it. I mean, I like doing a show with you. I brought Mike Wieger on my Home Gadget Geek show. I do Surface Geeks and Home Server Show with two other guys. I just really like that as long as it's really clear who owns what. And I'm not a big fan of co-owning. You and I have had that discussion before. You were like, hey, what about Ask the Podcast Coach? I'm like, dude, it's all yours. I don't want any money. I don't want, you know, I want to be able to come and go as I please. Those kind of, I don't want that obligation. I am not a big fan of partnerships where it's split. I really think podcasts need to be owned by a single person. That's just like best practice for me. Now, you're probably doing it with friends and co-owning it, and it's great. But that's a, for me, that's a recipe for disaster. And I just think with podcasts, they should be owned by a single person. So, you know, that's just my feeling.
I forget what session I was breezing through, and I heard a great phrase, and they said, blow up the blueprint. They said, forget, you know, yes, there are best practices, but there is no blueprint for podcast success. Now others, yes. Callie Lewis is now Loria Petrucci. I kept calling her Laura.
And yeah, that's her real name.
I feel bad because I was butchering her first name.
I'm going to call her Callie for forever.
Yeah, it's easier. And I can't say Petrucci for whatever reason, although I keep doing it now, but all week I couldn't do it. I kept butchering it. So yeah, I feel bad because on my session I called her Laura. So forever preserved in history.
Well, that's, I mean, she has great branding. Right. Yeah, I mean, that Callie Lewis was a great brand.
Well, that's what she said.
She's going to have a hard time getting away from that.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said, look, if I'm, you know, she goes, there's nothing wrong with Callie. Callie's, you can call me Callie if you want. I worked for 10 years as Callie. And yeah, but she's decided that way, if she wants to do something else, she can, you know, use her real name.
How do you pronounce that?
I believe it's Loria.
Loria, huh?
Interesting. L-U-R-I-A is what Jeff Bundy is saying in the chat room. And then Petrucci, which I'm having no problem with. Apparently, I just need to be tired and I can pronounce that. But all week I kept saying Petrucci, Petrucci. So,
The door was ringing because I've been expecting my Amazon Echo to appear. There is no, I guess there's the, you can see the Amazon button right there. So, or the Amazon logo right there. So, the Amazon Echo is here. They were originally, this is the second round of them. They've been upgraded a little bit, updated. And it'll be interesting. One of the things we've done on our podcast with Ubi, which is an Echo competitor, is we've actually brought the units in and made them a part of the podcasts. So you can ask, we've mic'd them up with headphones and a microphone. And you can ask then questions of them through the podcast. And it's pretty interesting what the responses you can get from them. So this is kind of fun. I'm going to be messing around with here pretty quick.
Yeah. Jim's like, can we cut the after show?
No, I'm good.
I got a toy to play with.
Talk to you very much. Yeah. No, I was expecting it. They said by 8 o'clock PM and U.S. Postal Service delivered it just a few minutes ago. So excited to get that set up and in place. And, you know, they mentioned, I think Jason mentioned the Midwest, the podcast Midwest.
Yeah.
Which is coming up here May 23rd. That's $99. That's not a bad deal for the day. No. That's unfortunately the graduation weekend for my kids. So, yeah, and I can't make podcast movement either. I've got interns in and we got big stuff going on at work. So I'll just have to do it all virtually. They'll just have to, if they want to get me, they got to get me on Ask the Podcast.
That's it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to podcast movement. That should be fun. And I did get to talk to Jared for a little bit. And there were a bunch of people I wanted to see that I've never met before that I never saw. Like I never saw Mark Ramsey, the radio guy, Grant Baldwin. I helped Grant set up his website. That's kind of how I knew him. And when his name came across, I was like, oh, cool. I know that guy. And I knew his background. So I knew he was going to be a great speaker, but I didn't get to shake hands. I was just running. And it was, like I said, we had the recorder thing. 10 minutes before Podcast Alley went live, we lost electricity in the booth. That was fun because then you have to find, the certified electrician from Las Vegas to come fix it.
Oh, good luck. And it's $200 a minute.
Yeah, it was a fun little fire I had to put out. CC not coming in on time. That was a little different. So that's when my session got moved from Thursday at 2, which I told everybody Thursday at 2 to Wednesday at 11:30. And I had so many people, well, not like five people on Thursday go, can't wait for your session. I'm like, it was yesterday at noon. Sorry.
That's the hard part.
But I also...
Well, what's exciting to me is that you're going to do it again. So it couldn't have been that bad if you're going to do it again.
No, I told my wife said, please don't. And I said, I want to do it one more time. I said, I've got some ideas. And if we can implement some of these to make it so it's not quite so operating in crisis mode, it's really not that. Because actually the show itself was not half as bad as I thought it was going to be. A lot of walking, a lot of running back and forth that I can fix. And I think there are some things I can do to entice people to be a minion next year. Because I could have used a couple. And in the end, everybody that said they could also had other things going on. And me being the nice guy, I didn't want to interrupt what they were doing. But I think there might be a way to give a little incentive for people to help out. Because really all I had to need to walk around and make sure it's recording. That was it. You know, and I just got up early and did it. So, yeah, so the actual session wasn't horrible, but it was just a lot of going back.
Well, it's seeing behind the scenes. This is, you know, most people for the conference, they only see the surface level stuff. But when you see into the covers and you're like, oh, man, this is a lot of work. You know?
Well, and everybody said they had no idea there was anything going on. I'm like, oh, it wasn't any major thing going on. That was the good news.
There really has to be, I think when you're doing these kinds of things, there really has to be an incentive in it for you. Otherwise, it's too much. I mean, you got to be getting something out of this, whether it's pay or notoriety or, you know, credibility. Because, man, it's hard to do these things just for the love of the game.
Yeah.
Well, you know. That, you got to be getting something out of it.
Last night when we walked, we took the monorail down to the strip so we could see the Bellagio. And I was talking with Rob Greenlee and man, it just, you know, we were both saying, we feel like we have sand in our ankles. It just, you know, your joints hurt. Everything was just like, So I did. Here's a fun after show question or story. I almost got kicked in the face. I was sitting, Rob and I, and
did you quit a podcast or something and you got punched in the face?
Exactly. We were at this SLS hotel, which is where they had a lot of the parties, which in theory was across the street, but across the street in Vegas is not across the street, you know, in your town. But this woman sees me from about, I don't know, 30 feet away, points at me like, oh my gosh, I know you. And I'm like, I'm sitting there in my head going, I can't place the face. And she walks over to me. And she gets about, you know, 6 feet from me. And all of a sudden I have a heel right in my face. Like just wham. She just, you know, high kicks me and literally just about like kicked me in the face. It was really close. And I'm like, hi, woman that just kicked me in the face. And she's like, come here, come here, come here. And I look at Rob like, what's going on here? And so we follow her and we're like, where are we going? What's going on? She's like, shut up. Just come here. Come here. And we're like, I think I know what this is happening here. Okay. So we walk over to a friend and she's like, tell him. Now we're starting to notice the slurred speech. Tell him. And her friend goes, she's a ninja. And about this time she turns around, Rob standing right there in front of her. And she goes, and now Rob Greenlee is 6'8". He is a tall dude. And she just about clocked him in the chin. I'm like, well, if nothing else, you know, she is a ninja because she's very limber. And, yeah. So then turn around and try to kick me again. And I'm like, I got to talk tomorrow. Please don't break my nose. So Rob and I then realized what we were dealing with, which was someone who was probably 23 to 26, had a lot too many. And we just kind of turned and left, more or less.
Great. Hey, anybody that says in Vegas, hey, come this way. I'm like, nah, you know what?
Yeah. I'm good here.
If you want to meet me and you're serious, just come up and shake my hand. Right. You don't need.
And we're locked up again. And he's back.
You're back.
Yeah. So awesome. Well, I don't know how this would work, but I was talking with everybody just calls him Pod Vader, guy from Blog Talk Radio. Yep. I think his email actually is podvader at blogtalkradio.com. They have put on the link. I'm trying to figure out how this would work, where you could dial in to Blog Talk Radio directly as well. So I would be there directly. You would be there directly. I'm trying to figure out how I then get that into Google Hangout. This is one of those where we have so many tools.
There'll be no videos. There'll be no video, right?
Yeah, that would be bad. That would be weird.
Yeah.
But then, because what I could do is put their player on the website. We would be direct. It would be, you know, and then you could easily hear the caller then. You know, so I get it. It's easy. It's just like we have so many tools. I'm like, So I'm not sure if we'll use that or not, but it's now, and he said, now this is beta. He goes, this is, he goes, technically you shouldn't have this. He goes, but if you want to play with it, it's like beta. And I'm like, okay.
All right. Well, I have a surf or I have an echo to mess with.
That's it. So thanks again, everybody in the chat room. And I have to dig through all these episodes now from New Media Expo to find Todd's speech and get it. He wants it today. I'm like, oh, dude.
Aren't they going live in like 8 minutes?
I told him, I said, you can't do this. I said, I'm not going to get to it by noon. Cause I started to look at it at the hotel, at the Houston airport. And it's just, they weren't labeled very well. And that's another learning curve for next year. Label the recorders so you know which one was in what room. And so, yeah, so it'll be fun. So yeah, I have to email him and say, I'm not going to get this to you by noon. Sorry.
Yeah. So we'll get some rest. We'll be back. We'll commit to no conference talk next week.
Yes.
All podcasting stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. All right.
All right, man.
We'll see you.
Have a good weekend.
See you.
Bye-bye. Bye.